I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you know what? I promised myself I wasn't going to do this. I promised myself I was not going to get Sean Welby on and just talk to her about Roman Kemp's dad. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2. I am joined by none other than the gorgeous Sean Welby. Hello, Sean. My absolute pleasure. How are you doing, Petal?
Do you know what? Not too bad. I can't really complain. I've got a week off this week. It's been sunny in London. It's been a miracle.
Honestly, so you've managed to wangle a week off?
Yeah.
How have you managed that?
Well, now it's quite handy because now I'm on Capital Breakfast. We all just get given set holidays. I don't even get a say in it. It's just like, you three are off, this. And so I'm not going to moan because it's... Before it was like trying to blag a holiday was the hardest thing ever, and now it's like, okay, I'll just take it.
But right, mate, I've got to ask, we had Roman Kemp on the pod a while back now, and I remember being like startled, like disgusted by how early he had to wake up. Now, you're a lass, so I'm wondering if there's any difference or if it's even worse. What time do you have to get up to get to work in the morning?
Oh, mate, Roman milks it, but he rolls out of bed, and I swear to God, I don't know how that boy makes it. He gets in within a minute before the show starts. Sometimes his hair's still wet. He's barely, you know, his clothes are from the night before. I'm there. I've curled my hair, done my makeup. I'm getting up at like 4:15.
Oh, fuck off. That's awful, mate. Like, the only time I ever want to be up at like 4:15 is if I'm catching a flight or I'm still up for the night before. Those, in my opinion, are two of the only acceptable reasons to be up at that time. I take my hat off to you, Sean.
Oh, mate, I do totally agree. And it's weird because you still wake up every morning with that same shock of, like you're saying, like, shit, I'm going to miss a flight. And then you're like, oh shit, no, it's work. And then it's worse. And then you're like, ah. So you never get used to it. And every morning you wake up startled.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. Literally, like, lockdown has made me so lazy. Like, I've still kept working, well, sort of, like, a semblance of work in the alarm.
I thought you were going to say assembling things. It's like, what have you been making?
I'm an IKEA enthusiast, Sean, in my spare time. No, like a semblance of my job. And my alarm went off the other day at 9:00. And honestly, I was like, ugh. I literally thought,
disgusting.
Do I have to be up? Like, it's made me so lazy. But you, of course, have been working all through lockdown, so it hasn't stopped for you at all, has it?
No, and in some ways, I'm actually quite grateful of it. Because I don't know about you, but you do. Like, not only do you lose your routine, but you sort of don't know anymore what's acceptable behaviour. You're sort of eating at all hours of the day. I've started eating dinner at, like, 8:00 in the morning. Yeah. Eating weird, really weird shit for dinner. I've started eating, like, curry and fajitas and weird stuff.
What, early doors?
Yeah, because the boys are animals, right? And we've got this chef. We've got this chef at Capital who we're definitely taking the piss, but he seems to like us and he seems to entertain it. So in the morning, we've started asking for more and more weird breakfast because normally it's just like a bit of toast or an omelette. And now they're going too far and we've been having curries and we've been having chicken fajitas. And I was like, at the beginning, I was like, you two are mental. What are we doing? And now I reckon I could eat anything for breakfast now. I'm like starving.
I love that though. But if you are getting up at 4:00 in the morning, I suppose by 10:00, it is your lunchtime. Easy.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, but Yeah, but then the worst thing is that now I'm inventing new meals because then I'm having like tea at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, then I'm having tea number two, then dinner two.
Yeah.
I'm just not stopping eating.
I don't blame you. I would be like the size of a semi-detached with a garage conversion, mate, if I was getting up at your time. No word of a lie. Because honestly, however long my days, it honestly affects how many meals I have every time. So if I just have one of those little short days, you know, bang average, I can stick to me main three. But if I have any longer than like a 12-hour, 14-hour day, I turn into a hobbit. Every meal has to have a second one, two breakfasts, two lunches. So if I was getting up at your time in the morning, mate, size of a house, easy. How do you look so good?
Don't. I've got a ring light on me. I've put some makeup on. I am cheating it. I've put a stone on since doing that show. Like, it is, you're all out of sync. You're constantly tired. You're constantly eating because you're tired.
Yeah.
I've just had to try and counteract it by doing pointless, aimless, boring 10,000 step walks.
Yeah. Oh God! Honestly, I got into a bit of a routine with them 10,000 step walks, and I almost became like a bit addicted. And if I hadn't got me 10,000 steps in, I would be walking around my dining room table at like 10 o'clock at night trying to get them in. Were you there as well?
Honestly, that is me. Ever since I've got this stupid watch that counts everything that you're doing, I'm obsessed as well. And I think it gets to like 9 o'clock at night, and I think, oh, I better go and walk to the chip shop and back just to get the rest of the... And then it's cruel, isn't it? Because then you can smell the food and stuff. Yes. But yeah, I have to do it all the time.
Oh, man. But then as well, I was thinking, right, so whenever I've knocked about with boys, whether it's like Geordie Shore or whether it was just me pals, the amount they can eat compared to the amount we can eat without putting on weight isn't fair. It isn't fair, is it?
It's
a right punch in the dick.
Yeah, it makes me so angry with... Whenever I've got into a new relationship, the amount they eat, the fried stuff they eat, the constant takeaways, the double portions, and you can't help as a girl to put on weight. Because no, you're like, what is this new... I think when you left your own devices as a girl, when you're single, you're almost in your most peak shape because you're just doing your own thing.
Yeah.
And then the second you get with someone, you're running on their routine and you're like, what is this?
Yeah.
I've got stuck in this new weight that I just can't get out of because I'm just eating boy food.
Boy portions.
Portions.
I think you look absolutely great, mate. So listen.
Oh, thank you.
Don't even worry about it. But I do totally understand what you're saying. Like when me and Erkan first got together, like I think... You sort of, and even though I don't want to admit it, don't we all as girls do that whole like, oh no, I'll just have a salad. You know what I mean? Like, oh no, like, I'm not a big eater. Bullshit. I could outscran you anytime, son. Like, literally, that is what I'm thinking. But then once you've been together about 6 months, before you know it, you're the one getting the takeaways in, the portions are the same size. And I suppose it's the same thing with the lads, with Roman and Sonny, isn't it? You're in a work relationship.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, like, Roman's a different kettle of fish because he is actually... I mean, he doesn't seem to put on any weight, but he does live
Lucky
off bran
bastard.
Flakes. Yeah, he's one of those, though, that doesn't actually really eat.
Oh, I bet he has the shits. Like, sorry, Roman, but I bet you're regular, like. All that bran. Jesus.
A lot of bran.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just... It's so maddening, isn't it? Because it's like, I also think it's when you're like an upbeat person, the salad thing makes you feel boring. Or if you go, I'll just have a plain salmon.
No.
You feel so
fish.
Boring. Yeah. And so when someone's going, should we get pizza and should we get Domino's in? Should we get a curry? You want to be part of the fun.
Of course.
You're like, yeah. And then you end up, gaining 5 stone, so yeah, you can't win.
No, I've never thought of it like that, but I am so not a salad person. Like, try as I might, Sean, like, over the years, I've tried to be, like, a salad person, I've tried to be a sunrise yoga person, I've tried to be a green juice person, and I've tried to be all of these people, right? And I'm not. Like, hats off to them. You're so wonderful, you people, like, so amazing, but I'm not. I am a get-up-late... Always arrives late. I am a bacon sandwich. I am a burger. I am a, like, hates going to the gym but forces herself. I'm that person, definitely.
Honestly, 100%. And it's nice to hear it because I think so many I don't know, you watch so many YouTube things, don't you, or so many Instagram accounts, and you feel like people are waking up at the crack of dawn doing 5K, eating kale, doing a juice and going to bed, and you're like, I can't do any of this stuff. I really have to work, especially now I've gone into my 30s, I have to work so hard at it. I think before, I had sort of a natural weight, I sort of stayed around,
yeah.
And I ate if I had a bad day, I counteracted it with being quite healthy. But now I feel like I have to really work. Like, I feel like people say like, I look at a biscuit and I put on a stone. But I used to always think I didn't relate to that at one point in my life. And now I'm in my 30s, I do. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't even dare have a mini egg. I'm just going to, oh, it's stressful.
Man, I feel like I'm talking to myself. Honestly, yeah. I swear to God, it's like looking in a mirror. So I, like, honestly, mate, in my 20s, I was able to kind of do what I wanted at the weekends. Like, I've always been curvy, you know, and size 10, big boobs and a bum. But in my 20s, I'd go out at the weekend, I'd drink what I wanted, I'd eat what I wanted. And providing that I was all right Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'd be back with a flat stomach by Thursday, just loving me life, ready to go out in a belly top on the town, paint it red, razzle dazzle. But now, I swear to God, I have one Oreo milkshake and I literally gain a stone. I hate myself for a month. Like, what the hell? There's so many things that nobody warned you about in your 30s, or people tried to warn you about in my 30s, but we were too foolhardy to listen. I do sometimes think my arrogance got in the way when I was 20, in my 20s.
Oh, 100%. And I think it happens to us all. Like, in your 20s, you are basically superhuman. And like you say, I was drinking Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yep.
And then I sort of, in the week, didn't eat like super healthy. And I barely did any exercise. I was walking a lot, but didn't do any. I wasn't gymming it. I've never been a gym goer. Mm. What's funny is now I can look back. I don't know if you ever do this. I look back at pictures of when I used to think I was big. And I look at me now with fresh eyes and go, oh my God, I want to look like that. And I used to hate looking like that. Now I want to look like it.
Mate, it's the worst, like, especially lockdown. So, for example, I don't know about you, but I've been being trolled by my own photo album on my phone.
Yes, oh my God, me too.
Swear to God. So I'm just sitting there casually on my phone and it pops up with, like, on this day last year, and you, like, obviously not now, because on this day last year, we were all still locked down, but a couple months before, and I was having so much fun, and I was, like, looking at these pictures, like, who is this fucking skinny happy girl? Because I tell you what, I didn't recognise her now, it's not me. I'm squishy and sad. Squishy and sad! I swear to God, Sean. So, no, I just think, like, I look back at all these moments where I remember looking in the mirror before I went out on a night out and being like, oh, I hate me thighs, and oh, I'm not sure on this outfit. I don't know if it does anything for me. Oh, it is what it is. I'm going out. I remember all these conversations I used to have internally with myself. And I look back now and I'm like, what were you whinging about, you skinny fool? You fool!
You skinny fucker, shut up! It's like you get angry at your old self. I feel exactly the same. My phone keeps trolling me, bringing up all these flashback pictures where at the time
of
I
the
didn't
life
appreciate.
We used to live.
Yeah. And now I'm like, oh my God, exactly like you. I feel like I'm in the skinniest jeans. I'm out having drinks. I'm having my best time.
Oh, I am really sick of lockdown and all of the squish. You know what? I can't blame lockdown. I was on this trajectory anyway. Who am I to blame lockdown? But you're a liar. I was really happy with Erkan. I don't know, like, we're giving 30s like a really rough time, Sean, but has it brought you any sense of liberation? Because I feel like it has. Like, I feel like, along with, you know, the 3-day hangovers and the crow's feet that weren't here a couple of years ago, I've also got this, like, lovely sense of self. And I'm really like, you know what? This is me. This is the real Vicky Patterson. And if people don't like it, that's absolutely fine. I mean, I say that, but I still get really sensitive about it. But, you know, it's fine. I am who I am. I feel a bit liberated by my 30s. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, 100%. And I think that's quite a nice thing, is as you do get older, you get more and more comfortable with who you are. You're less trying to sort of... I get what you're saying. I still care about what people think, but you're less trying to over-impress. Yeah. And I've become less... I was like a proper pushover when it came to like being a bit too nice or doing a bit too many favours or feeling a lot of pressure to say yes to everybody. And now I've just chilled out a little bit and gone, you know what? I'm not going to even try and come up with a stupid excuse. I'm just going to be honest and say, I can't be bothered to do this tonight, or I'm not in the mood. even with Zoom during lockdown, you just have to learn to be a bit more blunt, don't you?
Yeah, do you know what, right? Like, honestly, my sister has always been like this, mate. Like, I swear to God, I'm the people pleaser in our group. So if someone says, like, do you want to help us move house? I'll be like, oh, yeah, I'm free that day, I'll do it. Do you want to go out for drinks? Yeah, I'll do it. I'll break my back to make sure I'm there for other people. And you don't mind doing it when it's people you love. But it was getting to the point where it's like some fella who'd coloured me hair once, I was helping him move. And I was like, what am I doing with my life? Yeah, I'm doing too much. So I always used to look at Laura, my younger sister, who is miles cooler than me, has got life figured out, beautiful baby, wonderful husband. She's kind of goals, if I'm honest. And like, she, I remember this conversation I had with her, and she just got married, and we were all in the WhatsApp group chat, and we're like, oh, congratulations. Like, no, when you're back, we'll have to do this. And I was there, but all the girls were like, oh, we can't wait to catch up. And Laura just puts in group, oh, no, I'm sorry, like, I won't be doing any of that shit. And we're like, what? Sorry? She's like, oh, no, I'm fucking married now, hun. So
I love it.
So she's like, I don't have to do anything I don't want to do. She's like, I'm not ever giving him blowjobs ever again. She's like, I'm not coming out to all these midweek things, like, after work, girls. Like, it's just not me. I'm married. I'm focusing on that. And, like, you know, I felt so proud of my sister in that moment, because you can say she's looking after number one. You can say, like, oh, God, you can't forget who you were before you got married. But ultimately, she's protected her peace and her happiness. And that is one happy boss bitch. Laura's so happy. And I think there's a lot to be learned from Laura's way of life.
Oh, 100%. And I always, like, I always wish I had the balls to be really honest. And
to be more Laura.
Yeah, to be a bit more Laura. We could all, what would Laura do should be put on t-shirts and canvases.
Fuck all is probably the answer to that. Fuck all.
But yeah, like, people pleasing is the worst thing. You waste hours of your life doing it, and it's painful. And something that I've realised later in life is that if you're a bit of a sensitive people pleaser, you presume that everyone's like that, and that they'll be massively offended if you cancel on them or say no. And most people don't care. Most people, if you go, you know what, I'm not in the mood tonight, they're like, all right, see you next week. And you stressed and you had anxiety over nothing.
Oh, no.
So no. God, that's one thing that I'm trying to do more, is just be, like, a bit more honest about what I actually want to do.
Good for you as well, though. And that's what I mean about this feeling where it's like, your 30s, it does have this lovely liberating side to it, along with all the negative stuff that people harp on about. And I don't know, I have quite enjoyed it. I'm a little bit pissed off that I've been stuck inside for a year of it. But other than that, I am loving.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, right, I'm dying to talk to you about, well, first of all, you, like, your start. So you were a weather girl first, right?
So random.
Yeah. How do you even get into something like that? Did you just really love the weather? Did you do it at uni? Like, tell me everything. Can you do weather at uni? Is that right. A thing?
Vicky, this story is just so ridiculous. It probably could never happen again. I, A, didn't even go to uni, and B, didn't even do geography GCSE, so I didn't have a clue where anywhere. I'm no good at maps. I'm still shit at it now, right? And I was just trying to be a presenter, and you know what it's like, you're doing every little job, and I was going up and down the country doing all sorts of little gigs, and I did an advert that was for a magazine, and I did that advert, got paid like 170 quid. And then I went back to my day job at New Look, right? Thought nothing of it.
Oh, I love a bit of New Look. Go on,
dear. Oh, good old New Look. So I'm there back picking up clothes, doing the sale rail and all that. And meanwhile, this advert, little do I know, is playing on a loop in the Channel 5 offices, right? Uh-huh. And the boss, the owner of Channel 5, used to have this advert playing because he also owned all the magazines, like OK Magazine and New Magazine. And that's what the advert was for. And out of nowhere, apparently, he pointed at the screen and said, "Who's that girl?" And someone went, "Oh, I don't know." And they're like, "Get her in." And so they had to find out who I was.
Yeah.
Then randomly invite me down to London. I speak to like the head of Channel 5 at the time. They're asking me, "What have you been doing? What have you been presenting?" I told them a few stories. I hadn't done loads. Mm-hmm. I've been doing bits and bobs, nothing really on mainstream telly or anything. And the guy was like, "Okay." And sort of had this meeting. It all went well, but didn't say anything. Just went, "Lovely to meet you, Sian. Great to hear all this stuff you've been doing."
Oh, mysterious.
Then, yeah. And you've had meetings like that where you think nothing's going to come of it. But cool that I'm on their radar. That's kind of how I took away. I was like, great. So I go back up to the Midlands, living in Nottingham at the time, and I get a call like 2 weeks later. And it was from this guy, and he said, "Hi, Sian, you know, I had a meeting 2 weeks ago with the head of Channel 5. I was like, "Yeah." They're like, they've got a job for you. And my brain is going mad, and I'm thinking of all the TV shows that I want to present, and I'm like, oh my God, what is it? And there I am, like, I'm literally imagining them saying, "You're taking over Anton Deck from Saturday Night Takeaway." Yeah. I'm waiting for that.
Holly's out. You're in, Sian.
Get yourself on this morning. You got the gig. Yes. My brain is literally going through all these shows, and I'm thinking, this is it. And they say to me, "They want you to be the new weather girl on Channel 5. And I'm not going to lie. For that split second, I wasn't that excited. I was
a little
like,
bit disheartened. Yeah, I get it.
And I just was confused. I was like, "What do you mean? How do I just do the weather? I don't know anything about the weather. When do I start?" They're like, "You start, say it was October, I think. They were like, "You start in November. You got 4 weeks. They're going to send you down to the Met office for some training, and then you're on." And that was kind of it.
No. So they literally just bundled you off to the Met office to learn all about the snow and the rain and the sun and everything in between. And that was it, a month. And they were, you were expected to just be totally across it.
Honestly, Vicky, when I say I was clueless, so I was sat in the Met office, and in there there was loads
so
of people.
Fancy. Was the Met office fancy?
Really fancy. And in the room there was loads of pilots, right? Because they had to learn the weather. Yeah, I mean, that was a bonus to the training.
Fit ones.
A lot of fit pilots just sat there doing all this stuff. Because they have to learn the weather for the flying, right? So it was very technical.
Well, that's quite reassuring, isn't it? I didn't know pilots had to do that, but I feel pleased.
Yeah, they don't drive through storms for the sake of it. Like, oh, shit!
Didn't see that one there. Thought it was just a late shower.
So they're there, and honestly, they're talking about, isobars and all this stuff. And I put my hand up, and I'm like, they're like, "Yes, Sian, what questions do you have?" And I'm like, "Does there have to be clouds for it to rain?" And the look on the guy's face, he was like, "Yes, of course." Like, that's how dumb I was. Like, I did not know. I was like, "I don't understand the weather." I didn't even know that there had to be clouds for it to rain at this point.
I think that's a very valid question. Like, I didn't do geography at uni either. The whole tectonic plates thing was just fucking painful. So I didn't learn anything. And I don't know, like, I mean, it's a, do you know what, Sian? Don't let him dishearten you. I think that's a very valid question.
There'll be a lot of people listening going, "Are you fucking kidding me?
Where does rain come from?"
"Can it actually rain cats and dogs?" Asking for a friend.
Please tell me it got better, Sian. Please tell me you picked it up and you weren't just living a lie on Channel 5, making it up.
I wasn't making it up. Luckily, I got loads of prep every morning from meteorologists. So the bulk of the actual weather was given to me, so I didn't get the forecast wrong. And then it was just down to me to put it in my own words and present it, if you know what I mean. But so thankfully, in general, it was accurate, apart from the first week that I was on. Mm-hmm. And they forgot to put the Isle of Man on the map, so that wasn't on there. So that was a problem.
And they were all fuming. Well, they're everyone from the Isle of Man. They strike me as the type of place that would really come for you. Like, did you get trolls?
Yeah. So that was my first hate campaign, that I'd actually taken the Isle of Man off the map. So they weren't happy. And then I stood too far to the right. And so every time I tried to point to the southwest, I was pointing to the southeast.
Nice. Great.
So that was a nightmare. Yeah. So, yeah, it was carnage at the beginning.
I want to see the headline on the day you missed off the Isle of Man. I would love it. It was just like, Sean Welby hates Isle of Man. Oh, bless you. But you know what, mate? Like, from what I've seen, you managed to put your own spin on things, didn't you?
Well, honestly, that was to sort of keep me sane. And because, you know, like I've said, I didn't have that sort of interest in meteorology and weather and all that. All I wanted to do was have a laugh. So I just started doing dares with all the crew just to make them laugh. And I'd be like, give me a word, I'll sneak it in the forecast. And that's how all those puns and silly forecast came about, because I was just literally trying to make the crew laugh.
I was watching a clip before we had you on, and it was the one time where you did like the Star Wars themed weather.
Yeah,
I absolutely loved that. And you did the Back to the Future one as well, didn't you?
Yeah, so it kind of started with the Star Wars one that went big. Yeah. And because the bosses were like, obviously, at the beginning, I used to sneak it in and not tell them. And then when I did that one, there were so many, I thought I was going to get absolutely bollocked, to be honest. And then, because I went too far with it, yeah. I put like 23 in there.
Oh,
there
was more. You took the piss. You totally took the piss.
There was like more Star Wars than weather. If you didn't know what I was doing, you'd think you were having a stroke, honestly. Didn't make any sense.
No, it was so good, Sean. But I suppose, like, if you haven't got that weather background and that real passion for rain, you did have to do something to keep it interesting. It did do the trick, though, didn't it, mate? Because it got you noticed. So you went from doing the weather, which I think we'll all agree, although it was a great gig and you made the most of it, wasn't quite your passion, was it?
That's a great way to put it. Thank you. Yeah, perfectly put.
And you went from there straight on your own short heart.
Yeah, buzzing.
And how did that go?
Oh, honestly, like you say, I think honestly, this is also why in life you never know what job will take you to the next, and why you should never really turn anything down in life, because it eventually does take you on that weird journey.
Yeah.
But so I would have I wanted to get into radio. I had no idea how I was going to do it. Thought I was going to have to be a DJ. And then who'd have thought, by doing weird dares on the weather forecast, it kind of got the attention of the bosses there. Saw that I was a bit of a laugh and I could obviously, like, you know, present stuff and whatever. And yeah, next thing you know, I'm doing that show. And I was over the moon, to be fair. Like, it was a great time slot. I got loads of big guests. I was over the moon.
Oh, mate. But you deserved it, though. Like, honestly, I think it's such an amazing story how you like that escalation. And those clips, I'm not surprised they went viral. Absolutely hilarious. Sean, I've loved talking to you in part one. Do you think you can join me in part two?
Oh, go on then.
Okay, we'll speak to you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.